Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is Word for Word. And this is a re-recording due to a computer glitch on my part for July the 15th, Friday. And we're going to be going through Genesis 45 and 46. I have to redo the show. My bad. I'm sorry. Well, let's get started. We went through Joseph playing mind games with his brothers, and finally it's time for him to reveal his true identity to his brothers and stop playing games with them, even though they richly deserve the mental anguish that he put them through. Chapter 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself, that's 662, before all that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out for me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he gave voice to weeping, and the Mitzri and the house of Parao heard. He really was emotionally distraught at that point. Verse 3, and Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" And his brothers could not answer him, because they were dismayed, 926, at his presence. Here they were speaking to the number two man in all of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh, and it turns out to be their brother, with a shaved head and shaved everything, looking like an Egyptian. Oh boy. Verse 4, and Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Mitzrayim. Now, therefore, do not be grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here, because Elohim sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there shall be no earing or harvest." Famine wasn't over by a long shot. Verse 7, "Elohim sent me before you to preserve a posterity," 7611, "in the land, and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Verse 8, "So now it was not you that sent me here, but Elohim. And he has made me a father to Parao, and lord of all his household, and a ruler throughout all the land of Mitzrayim." Parao evidently was young, and Joseph was older and wiser, and really bailed him out. So he was very, very grateful. Verse 9, "Hurry," that's 4116, "make haste, hurry, that vein of thought, and return to my father and say to him, thus says your son Yosef, Elohim has made me Lord of all Mitzrayim. Come down to me, do not delay. Verse 10. And you shall dwell in the land of Goshen, 1657. And you shall be near to me, you and your children, and your children's children, and your flocks, and your herds, and all that you have. Verse 11. And there I will nourish you, because there are five more years of famine, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty. 3:4-3. Now that can mean dispossessed or possessed. It has multiple meanings depending on the context. Verse 12, and behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Binyamin, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. And you shall tell my father of all my glory in Mitzrayim, and all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here. Verse 14, and he fell upon his brother Binyamin's neck and wept, and Binyamin wept upon his neck. 15, moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them, and after that his brothers talked with him. Now remember, he had been using an interpreter before this, and they thought he was an Egyptian that needed an interpreter, and he's speaking to him in Hebrew. Oh boy! Surprise, surprise. And the fame, that's 8034, which means name, it's used in a number of contexts. If a man is famous, he's a man of a name. Well, and the name of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Yosef's brothers are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And said Pharaoh to Yosef, say to your brothers, do this. Laid your beasts, 1165, and return to the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households and come to me, and I will give you the good of the land of Mitzrayim, and you shall eat the fat of the land. Now when they talk about the fat of the land, they're talking about the very best of all the produce and food. They're going to be treated in a royal manner because they are Yosef's kinsmen. Verse 19. Now you are commanded, do this. You take wagons out of the land of Mitzrayim for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also, do not regard your stuff, 3:6-7, because the good of the land of Mitzrayim is yours. In other words, they're going to get all new stuff. They're really going to get treated right. Verse 21, and the children of Israel did so, and Yosef gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them possessions for the way. Or provisions for the way, pardon me. Verse 22. To all of them he gave each man changes, 2487, of clothing, 8071. But to Binyamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of clothing. Binyamin was his physical full brother. The others were half-brothers. They had the same father, but different mothers. To his father he sent after this manner: 10 asses laden with the good things of Mitzrayim, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So when he was coming down, he'd have plenty to eat. 24. So he sent his brothers away, and they departed. And he said to them, "See that you do not quarrel," 7264, "on the way." Because he knew how his brothers were. They were still not heads, and they did get into it over some stupid thing. Verse 25. And they went up out of Mitzrayim and came into the land of Canaan to Jacob their father. Verse 26. And told him, saying, "Yosef is still alive, and he is governor over all the land of Mitzrayim." And Jacob's heart fainted because he did not believe them. He just almost passed out. What? He thought he was dead all these years. And here he is. He's not only alive, but he's the second in command in the land that's selling them grain to keep them alive. Verse 27, and they told him the words of Yosef, which he had said to them. And when he saw the wagons which Yosef had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived, and said, "Israel, it is enough. Yosef, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die." He wasn't worried about the possessions or all the stuff he sent. He is just so fantastically happy that his son is not dead and he's going to go get to see him again. And he ended the mind game with the brothers, because they had been pretty dirty birds and did him wrong, but he understood that it was Elohim, Yahweh, that had made all of this happen so he could save everybody. Yahweh works in mysterious ways. Now we'll get into verse 46, or chapter 46. Took Israel his journey with all that he had, and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to Elohe his father Yitzchak. Well, that's the God of his father Yitzchak. I hate to use the word God, the divine being of his father. Verse 2. Spoke Elohim to Israel in the visions of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he replied, "Behold me." And he, capital H, said, "I am the El, Elohe, your father." The El is 410 and Elohe is 430. "I am the Mighty One, El, the Mighty One, divine being of your father. Fear not to go down into Mitzrayim, for I will there make of you a great nation." Verse 4. "I will go down with you into Mitzrayim, and I will also surely bring you up again." and Joseph shall put his hand upon your eyes. Now, he's going to want to come up and be buried in the cave of Machpelah with the rest of the ancestors. And the putting of the hand upon the eyes, you've seen stuff on movies and TV where the guy dies and his eyes are open. And the guy, the best friend or the loved one, puts their hand on her eyes and closes them. Well, that's what that refers to. Rose up Jacob from Beersheba and carried the sons of Israel, Jacob their father, and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Parao had sent to carry him. In other words, they just packed up and went. Verse 6. Took they their livestock and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Mitzrayim, Jacob and all his seed with him. That means his progeny, seed line. 7. His sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed he brought with him into Mitzrayim. The whole family came down. Verse 8. These are the names of the children of Israel which came into Mitzrayim, Jacob and his sons, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, the sons of Reuben, Hanok, 2585, Palu, 6396, Ketzron, 2696, and Carmi, with a Charmi, 3756. Verse 10. The sons of Shimeon, Yamuel, 3223, Yamin, 3226, Ohad, 161, Yakin, 3199, Zochar, T-S-O-C-H-A-R, 6714, and Shaul, 7586, the son of a Canaanite, 3669, female Canaanite. That was the one that he didn't give to Tamar as a husband. Verse 11. The sons of Lewi, L-E-W-I-Y, not Levi with a V, Lewi with a W. The Jews spell that wrong. They've changed the language. Gershon, 1647. Kehath, 6955, with a Q, sound, H-A-T-H, and Merari, 4847. Lots of kids here. Verse 12. The sons of Yauda, Onan, Shelah, Peretz, and Zarach. But and Onan died in the land of Canaan. Remember, Yahweh killed them. The sons of Peretz, who was the firstborn, were Ketzron, 2696 and Kamul 2538. There we go. I had to get a hit of water. It gets a little dry after all these. Don't stand close to anybody speaking Hebrew. Verse 13. The sons of Yisachar. Tola 8439. Pua. P-U-W-W-A-H 6312. Yob 3102. And Shimron 8110. The sons of Zebulun. Sered 5624. Elon 356 and Yakalel 3177. These are the sons of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob in Padan Aram, with his daughter Dinah. All the people of his sons and daughters were 33. That's by Leah, his first wife. She was their mother. And they call them the sons. They're actually the grandsons, physically. But they use that word, sons, for sons and grandsons. Verse 16, the sons of Gad, Siphion, T-S-I-P-H-Y-O-N, Siphion, 6837, Chagi, Chaggiy, 2291, Shuni, 7764, Etzbon, 675, Eri, 6179, and Arodi, 722, and Areli 692. Verse 17, the sons of Asher, Yimna 3232, Yishua 3438, and Yishwi 3440, Berea 1283, and Serach 8294, their sister. And the sons of Berea, who evidently was the firstborn, because that's who they list. The sons of Berea, Cheber, C-H-E-B-E-R, 2268, and Malkiel, 4439. These are the sons of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to Leah his daughter, and she bare to Jacob 16 people. Well, no, she didn't. She only bore the sons, but they list, she caused to come into being 16 people. She didn't physically bear 16 children. This is their poetic form of speech. That's how they wrote. You can't take it literally. You have to understand their method of writing. Verse 19, the sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife. She's designated as the main wife. Poor Leah, even after she's gone. What a tragedy. Yosef and Binyamin. And to Yosef in the land of Mitzrayim were born Menashe and Ephraim, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare to him. Verse 21. And the sons of Binyamin: Bela, 1106, Becher, 1071, Ashbel, 788, Gera, 1617, and Naaman, that's Naaman, 5283, Echi, Echiy, 278, Rosh, 7220, Muppim, Muppim, 4649, and Cupim, Cuppim, 2650, and Ard, Ard, 714. These are the sons of Rachel, which were born to Jacob. All the people were 14. Here we go again with the poetic usage. She only had two children, Yosef and Binyamin. She's talking about the grandsons. 23, the sons of Dan. Well, I don't know why they used the plural for the word sons, but they did. Cushim. He only had one kid. 2366. 24. The sons of Naphtali: Yachseel, Yachtseel, 3183. Guni, Guniy, 1476. Yetzer, 3337, and Shilem, 8006. These are the sons, again, grandsons, of Bilhah, which Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, and she bare these to Jacob. All the people were seven. All the people that came with Jacob into Mitzrayima, which came from his loins, besides Jacob's sons' wives, all the people were 66. And the sons of Yosef, which were born to him in Mitzrayim, were two people. All the people of the house of Jacob, which came into Mitzrayim, were 70. Now these 70 are going to multiply and just virtually explode in population. Verse 28. And he sent Yehuda before him to Yosef to direct him to Goshenah. Now that's the formal spelling for Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. And 29. And Yosef made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshenah, and presented himself to him. And he fell on his neck, and wept on his neck a good while. Verse 31. And said Joseph to his brothers and to his father's household, I will go up and tell Pharaoh and say to him, my brothers and my father's household, which were in the land of Canaan, have come to me. Verse 32, and the men are shepherds, for their trade has been to feed livestock. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. In other words, they made a big, huge trip with everything down where the food was. Verse 33, and it shall be, when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? Verse 34, that you shall say, your servant's trade has been about livestock from our youth until now, both we and also our fathers. So you may dwell in the land of Goshen, because every shepherd is an abomination to the Mizraim. Now, verse 3 in this chapter, you can reference the book of Yashar, which is Jasher in English with a J. 55:2, chapter 55, verse 2. Verse 6, you can reference Acts 7:15. And verse 20, you can reference Genesis 41:50-52. Verse 27, you can reference Acts 7:14. And verse 30, you can reference the book of Yashar, chapter 55, verse 16. What has taken place here is by the hand of Yahweh, and he is placing Joseph in the position of the firstborn son. Now that's going to come to a head here when Jacob Israel gives the blessings to the children. Now I'm going to cover that in the next show. But we're going to talk about what went on here a little bit. We've had Yosef sold into slavery. The brothers didn't quite get to sell him because they stuck him in a pit. And one brother was going to go back and get him out of the pit and return him to his father. Enough is enough. We've punished him enough. Well, while they were eating lunch, the Midianite merchants came along and saw this guy in a pit, naked, because they stripped him of his big tunic to the palms and soles. The ceremonial tunic that was made for him to show favor from his father, which brought the wrath of the brothers. They were so jealous and they were mad at him because he told that they were fooling around and not doing their job. Well, he was showing responsibility for his father's flocks and his father's house, which the older brothers were not doing. They were just fooling around doing whatever they're doing. It doesn't really specify what they were doing wrong, but they were doing something. And then he had the dreams. And they were prophetic dreams from Yahweh. And they hated him even more for that. And even his father said, are we going to bow down to you? You know? But he remembered the dreams. And the brothers just blew him off. This rotten little brother, snitch, is dreaming. Well, this was all from Yahweh. He had been put in a position by Yahweh to be the savior for the family. And not only for the family, but for Mitzrayim as well. So they would treat these shepherds, which nobody in Mitzrayim would have anything to do with because they were shepherds. Don't know why they were so down on shepherds, but they were. And bailed them out. So they were going to be very grateful for a long time, and that family was going to prosper in the land of Goshen, which was the best farmland in the whole area. Best for flocks and herds. And as Yosef was second in command to Pharaoh, he was going to be treated like one of the royal house. So that extended to his family. He was showing by his actions all through the time in Mitzrayim, when he had been put in charge of Potiphar's house, the captain of the guard, then his rotten lion wife wanted to have sex with him. He says, no, that would be a sin. That would be against my master. That's terrible. I can't do that. Well, she lied on him and got him thrown in jail, which was right where Yahweh wanted him, because he was so good at everything that the head jailer put him in charge of the jail and put him in a position to hear these dreams of the baker and the cupbearer and be able to interpret them. Then later on, who had mysterious dreams but Pharaoh himself? And his so-called magicians, astrologers and soothsayers and diviners and all that fake magic nonsense, couldn't interpret the dream. But finally, the cupbearer remembered him. He said, hey, there was a guy in prison when you were mad at me that interpreted our dreams. Well, they sent for Yosef. And Yosef told him exactly what was going to come with these two matching dreams. And he was the savior of the land. As I said in a prior show, Yosef was a type of anointed Messiah. That's what a Messiah means, anointed one. He was anointed by Yahweh to save Israel and Mitzrayim. As Yahshua, Messiah, would be anointed in the future to redeem Israel, as Moshe would be anointed in the future to lead Israel through the wilderness, as Yahshua the prophet would be anointed to lead them into the promised land. Now they call him Joshua, but it's Yahshua, the same as the name of the Messiah. Yahshua, that was his name. And he was a type of Christ. Because he led them in. He was a foreshadowing of what was to come in the time of our Redeemer and eternal King, Yahshua, Son of Yahweh. So all of this is prophecy, and it's leading up to the future, and everything that was done here, and everything, every instance, even the bad stuff, had to be done because it was put in place by Yahweh to set up this character named Yosef in the history of Israel to bail Israel out of this famine and preserve their lives and put them in a land where they could prosper. Now, the people that they were prospering under, the leaders of Mitzrayim, were Hamites from the seed of Ham. Mitzrayim was one of the sons of Ham. He was not cursed seed like Canaan. And the woman that was given to him, to Yosef, to marry, was an Adamite woman. She was not of mixed seed. She was of pure white Adamic seed line. So it was okay for him to have children by her. Later on, the Egyptians would be conquered by the Hyksos. They would be a subsection of the tribe of the Hittites. They wouldn't remember Yosef. That's going to come in Exodus, which we will get into later this week. And they would be very cruel to Israel and treat them as slaves. Well, for many, many years, they were not slaves. They were equal citizens and revered because of the actions of salvation for the nation of Mitzrayim by Yosef. And this would give Israel, the people, the chance to breed and become very, very, very prosperous and numerous. So this entire mass of people would leave Mitzrayim after all the plagues and punishment on the Hyksos king by Yahweh, and they would go and wander. This is all setting this up. They bred and bred and were prolific. You know, they all had all these children and multiple wives, and they just popped babies out left and right back in those days. And they would become a huge nation as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky, which is exactly what Yahweh promised to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Jacob Israel, the covenant, the everlasting covenant. Your seed line will be as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. And Yahweh does not lie. So this is the setup for the breeding ground, literally, for Israel to multiply and multiply and multiply and become a great people that would migrate all through for 40 years and wind up crossing the Jordan River into the historical land of Israel. Now, the people that are there now are not the same racial demographic. They are Edomites. Israel went into dispersion, and we are scattered all over. And that area is occupied by imposters. But It is coming to the time when we are being called out. The remnant is being called by Yahweh back to his service, back to his pure worship. He has redeemed us, if we accept it, through Yeshua Messiah. And his plans are coming to fruition. We see the troubles of today. These are the time of Jacob's troubles, when we're really starting to get persecuted. Some of our worst persecutors may very well turn out to be from our own people in the Judeo-Christian churches, because of the error that they have been taught, and they will be taught to hate us and deny, oh, we're not Israel. No, the Jews are God's chosen people. Well, they are asleep and under the influence of the mass propaganda of the Edomite enemy. We are doing what we can here at Eurofolk Radio to counter that. And we're making a pretty good dent, from what I understand from listener records. How many hits we have on websites, and who's listening to what. And the response that we're getting in our emails and the chat rooms. And it is very, very heartening to us to know that we are doing good for our people, because we love our people. And we try to spread the gospel of Yeshua Messiah and the Torah of Yahweh, because this is what we need to live. So all of this started way back when, and this section, the very end of the book of Bereshith, which is called Genesis. Bereshith means in the beginning. Is setting up the stage for this great, great, great travel of Israel all over the world. And all our rich history, which we need to reclaim for ourselves. And it gives all the instructions on how to live our lives in this wonderful scripture. And I feel very, very privileged to be able to bring this to you. I've worked very hard to get these translations correct. And I'm very picky, and I go through them with a fine-tooth comb. They're up on Yahweh's Follower. The shows are on Yahweh's Follower in chronological orders. They're up on YouTube. They're up on EFR as rebroadcast. They're up on TalkShoe. And on Anglo-Saxon Israel. So they're all over the place, and other people are just downloading them and keeping them in their own files, from what I understand, so they can study them later. On Anglo-Saxon Israel, the text of what I am reading is on there. I'm about to change the Exodus text, which is an old one, when I did not have the equipment that I have now. I have Exodus completely redone, and I'm about over halfway done with Leviticus, so we will replace those with a better text and easier to read format. It just takes time to do all this stuff. So I want to thank everybody for listening and for your patience. I had to re-record this because I missed one of the settings that I needed, and it didn't get done on Friday the 15th of July, so I'm re-recording it tonight. I'm going to re-record another show, the next show for Monday, because we had a problem with the fire alarm system, and I still didn't have that button pushed and didn't find out about it until Monday night. So I'm actually doing this on Monday night. It's 12:24 in the morning. But I need to get this archived. So thank you for your patience. Thank you for listening. And I appreciate your support. I will say at this point, Shalom Aleichem to all my brothers and sisters. And I'll cut this a little bit short because I'm going to put the bumper music back in. I've got that fixed. And then tomorrow, after they're done testing the fire alarm again, I'll re-record today's show, Monday's show, and we'll get that up and posted for the archives. So may Yahweh bless and keep you, and peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on the onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.